Toma bina ke dayalu jagata samsare. Toma bina ke dayalu jagata samsare. Patita pavana hetu Tavayavatara. Patita pavana hetu Tavayavatara. Samapatita Prabhu Napaiveyada. Samapatita Prabhu Napaiveyada. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripavalokana karo ami bada dukhi. Kripavalokana karo ami bada dukhi. Daya kara sitapati Adwaita Gosai. Daya kara sitapati Adwaita Gosai. Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nita. Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nita. Haha Sarup Sanatana Rupara Gunata. Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha. Vartajuga Shri Jivaha Prabhu Lokanatha. Vartajuga Shri Jivaha Prabhu Lokanatha. Jayakarak Shri Acharyak Prabhu Srinivasa. Jayakarak Shri Acharyak Prabhu Srinivasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. Toma Vina Kedayalu Jagata Samsare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Panchatattva, Jaya Panchatattva, Panchatattva, Jaya Panchatattva. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So, we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 82. Mahatsevam dwaram ahor vimuktes. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta. Vimanyavasu hrida sadhavo ye. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimuktes. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta. Vimanyava surida sadhavo ye. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimuktes. Tamo dvaram yoshita sanghi sangam. Surida sadhavo ye. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimuktes. Ram yoshitam sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta. Vimanyava surida sadhavo ye. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimuktes. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta. Vimanyava surida sadhavo ye. Mahatsevam. The service of the pure devotee spiritual master. Dwaram, door. Ahu, they said. Vimukte, of liberation. Tama dwaram, the door to darkness. Yoshitam, of women and money. Sanghi Sangam, association with those who enjoy the association. Mahanta, great souls. Te, they. Samachitta, equally disposed to all. Prashanta, very peaceful. Vimanyava, without anger. Suhrida, well wishes of everyone. Sadhava, who are endowed with all good qualities, or who do not look for faults in others. Yea, those who. Translation. It is the verdict of all Shastras and great personalities that by serving a pure devotee, one attains the path of liberation. However, by associating with materialistic people who are attached to material enjoyment and women, one attains the path of darkness. Those who are actually devotees are broad-minded. equal to everyone and very peaceful. They never become angry and they are friendly to all living entities. So this was, of course, a Bhagavatam verse. So I thought I would just read the purport from the verse in Bhagavatam. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. One can take these paths. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalist and the devotee. Although their ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman, and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described in the first verse, Brahma Sokyam, Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotee seek eternal blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Asat Sangha Tyag E Vaishnava Achar, Sri Sangye Kasadu Krishna Vaktar. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification, and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the avoidance of non-devotees and women hunters. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuru Nilitam Jina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namo Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Vituli Shimite Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivisaisha Shunivari Pasvita Deshi Tarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, just wanted to say that I'm very grateful for this opportunity to try and glorify the transcendental vibration of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We are in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. So these series of verses have been describing the qualities of the Vaishnavas. Previously it was describing the different kinds of devotee, the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. And I was describing the qualities of those great personalities, the Mahatmas. The importance of the sadhu, I find that within the context of devotional service has such a special significance. Of course, we may see some correlation across other spiritual traditions, the importance of some senior, some more advanced soul who acts as a guide for us. But in Krishna consciousness especially, the importance of the sadhu is explained in such a expansive way. We find it everywhere, all across our shastras. The role of the sadhu in our life, here it's written, they are the dwaram, the door to liberation. We know that, of course, now it's become popular that spiritual life is like a solo journey, where it's almost like a sense gratification in and of itself, that we simply enjoy our own speculation and supposed revelations about our journey, Of course, it's a little bit innocent because people don't have so much knowledge, right? Srila Prabhupada was always stressing that we should get knowledge from a reliable source, because in that way we become aligned properly and we are able to make progress. Whereas if we speculate and try to remain independent and act on our own volition, then we can easily become lost. And so that guide, that waypoint, that direction becomes so much important for us, because as we can see here, when we are not guided properly, then there is so much risk there, because due to our conditioned nature, and we are given some minute independence, then we can make decision to go in either direction, either towards God or away from Him. That agency is granted to us, because Krishna reciprocates. He wants a reciprocation, not that we are forced to surrender. He wants a loving relationship. So we are given some opportunity to decide in which direction we will go. And because we have that, you can say, sort of neutral, although because we've been conditioned for so long now, the needle's been pointed already in a different direction. But we are able to be influenced by either the spiritual nature or material nature. Just like there's a verse from Rupa Goswami where he says that, let me just read it actually so I don't get it wrong. Just as a transparent crystal takes on the colors of nearby objects, the association of a person determines one's qualities. Therefore, the intelligent takes shelter in like-minded, similarly practicing groups for the sake of bringing auspiciousness and prosperity to their group. So, we have that quality that we are influenced by our association. And so, according to where we place ourselves, that has a significant impact on the direction we will go. And especially when we come to spiritual life, where not only are there different kinds of misinterpretations, right, but then there are also sorts of... it's a very fine line, right? Because when we get into the realm of spiritual life, we have to deal with a lot more subtle aspects. When we live a material life, it's pretty straightforward. We're engaged in sense gratification to some degree or another. We're concerned more with our own self and the extensions of ourselves. And so in that way, we simply act out our karmas. But when we come to spiritual life, we have to be much more conscious and aware of how we conduct ourselves, etc., etc. We hear so many things about what we eat, what we hear, what we see. All these things have influence on our consciousness. They have influence on our desires. They can either contaminate or purify us. And so in that way, we are very much malleable. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, the association becomes crucial for us, because we may, at least in the beginning, not have a natural strong affinity for Krishna. We are still kind of reeling from millions of births of being away from Krishna. And so the natural propensities of a conditioned jiva or a sadhaka often can be those things which are not related to Krishna. And so association keeps putting us back onto the right path, keeps pulling us back towards the right direction, and the association has the impact on us. The association with the sadhu, his qualities, his attachment for Krishna, his purity, these things become inculcated in our heart to the degree that we are serving Mahat Sevam. So to be in the proximity of the sadhu, of course, is already wonderful. What is that verse? Tuliyama Lavenapi. Even a moment's association with a sadhu is more valuable than even attainment of heaven, etc. The verses like this. So, of course, to be even around the Mahatmas, but then to serve them, hearing from them submissively, Tadvidi Pranipantena, Pariprashna, inquiring from them, then we really start to become transformed in that association through that seva. The Mahatmas are like the Vaya Media. They are our connection to the spiritual world. Because when we are still practicing and when we are still conditioned, because we cannot access Krishna with our material mind and senses, therefore sometimes he can feel a little far away. When we are not experiencing ruchi in our nam bhajan, sometimes it can be challenging. Because when we read and we hear about what is the nature of bhakti, or the nature of prema, the nature of deep attachment for Krishna, it sounds wonderful. It sounds incredible. But we may not always experience that as that while we are still practicing. So therefore we need someone to give us some kind of, you can say, real-time experience, something that's close to our senses, because when we're conditioned, we're so much dependent on our senses in order to have experience. Sometimes we can feel frustrated because we're not experiencing something with our senses, because it's beyond our senses. So when we come in contact with the sadhu, who, because of his or her purity and sincerity, they are like a Vaya Media. They have that connection with the spiritual reality. And that association, we get so much increase in our own faith and determination, because through them we get to have some experience of reality. And so we can see across, especially in the Bhagavatam, we can see in so many cases how the great devotee is the catalyst in the life of the sadhaka, or in the life of the, you know, there's so many examples, you know, like Murghari Narada Muni comes out of his own mercy and liberates, or he instructs and guides Murghari, and he becomes a great devotee. There are so many examples like this. And so the sadhu is that catalyst who not only turns on our spiritual life, that's also how we begin, right? That through that association, then that faith comes, that shraddha, and that begins our spiritual life. Without that meeting with that sadhu, like there's that bhajan, Yadi Prabhupada Nahoito. If Srila Prabhupada hadn't come, where would we be? Because that is that moment. That's that moment of beginning our spiritual life. And also they sustain our spiritual life. Right? Without association, even if we begin our spiritual life, but without association, it's very difficult to continue, to maintain. The process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. But what's difficult is to maintain for a lifetime. That's not so easy. And so the association is what maintains us. It's what keeps us alive. And it's also what is required in order for us to make progress. Without the association of the Mahatmas, we cannot attain to high levels of devotional service. That's why we reject this impersonalist idea that we take the help of the guru and then we kick him out. There's that I heard recently a pastime of Srila Prabhupada where he was walking with one servant, I think on a beach, and he kind of stumbled. And then the servant took his hand and helped him up, and when Srila Prabhupada stood up, then he threw his hand away. And then he explained, these are the impersonalists, that they take some support of a guru or teacher, and then they kick him out. So this we reject, because on our own we are very small, right? We are a tiny infinitesimal jiva, and there's only so much we can do. But actually, to understand that we cannot do it on our own is very liberating, because then we don't have to depend so much on our own ego and our own very limited, right? We have the four defects. We have material mind and senses. There are so many things. But it is not that we have to alone with by our own faculties try to get to Krishna. Therefore, we try to surrender ourselves, we try to avail ourselves to the association of the devotees and of the sadhus in particular. And so in this way, we're carried, really. I was thinking about this recently, that in so many ways we're actually just being carried towards Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport in 10.14.8, like the son of the rich man who simply has to stay alive to inherit his wealth. So we have to just continue and not give up. And when we keep taking opportunity to associate with the advanced Vaishnavas, then we are really just being carried. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Because it's that humility that we feel, I'm completely dependent on the mercy of the sadhus. I'm completely dependent on the mercy of Gaur Nitai, Srimati Radharani. That mood is attractive to Krishna. And that humility also is what brings us to the feet of the sadhu. Because without that humility, we will not be so willing. We won't approach a sadhu. Right? So we can see examples of this, that when we are lacking the humility, then when a sadhu comes, we may not even recognize. And therefore, we risk making offenses. So that humility that softens our heart and makes us submissive to a Vaishnava who can then reciprocate and help us to enlighten us, guide us. There is a relationship there. And there is so to the degree we are approaching, then he can or she can reciprocate. And in that way, we really be able to make progress. Of course, we know already, I think, association with materialistic people. I've said a little bit about this. But I was thinking about this because recently I was in Govardhan for the Govardhan retreat. And Sachinanda Maharaj was talking about purity of the mind. How the purity of the mind is required in order to meditate on Krishna properly. So he was saying we have to take into account our, he said, mental hygiene, the more subtle aspects of our purity of consciousness of being. So association with materialistic people has a much more profound effect
when we start to become aware of the more all the ways in which we are impacted on subtle levels as well. And so association physically and also just, yeah, what we hear, what we see, all these things have impact on our consciousness. When we begin to desire to become closer to Krishna, I found for myself personally, then I start to become much more aware of what is affecting my consciousness. What is making me forget about Krishna? What is making me less inspired to hear or chant? I've become much more sensitive to the ways in which my association affects me. So, it is not simply a restriction just as a for the sake of rules. Everything in Krishna consciousness has deep meaning and significance. It's not just about following rules as to be a compliant participant of a particular religion. Everything has so much meaning and import. So we can see from the example of the sadhu, we see their qualities, as are mentioned previously, because they have purity of consciousness and heart. They are very careful about their association. They're very careful about how they walk through this world. They show us by their example how to remain in a pure consciousness. And what is the purpose of that? Because then they're able to become a very transparent by media, or a very transparent, you can say, road, for lack of a better word, for Krishna to be able to enter into the heart. So to the degree that we have living in a life of purity, to that degree, Krishna becomes more present to us, because the more conditioned we are, the more we are forced into our material body. Just like those who are women hunters, because they are so lusty, they are so contaminated by material desires, so they are forced into body consciousness. They can't help but to see everyone as objects of their sense gratification. Therefore, we see so much exploitation going on, because we only see as far as the body when we are conditioned like that. We can't see, we cannot be Samadarshina. Pandit says Samadarshina, that the Mahatma sees the soul in everybody's heart because they have knowledge, they have a proper understanding. So therefore they can see that actually all these are part and parcel of Krishna. But when we don't have spiritual vision and we see only as far as the body, and we only identify as far as our material senses, false ego, then we can only see everyone as objects of our sense gratification. So the purity of consciousness is required so that we're able to elevate above the material base, you know, low common denominator that is there, and be able to then have a more genuine experience of Krishna in the heart, a more, you can say, tangible. So when we are too much conditioned, then we don't feel that connection with Krishna. Just like a materialistic person who stands in front of the deity just sees a statue, stone. They don't see Krishna. They don't see, you know, Brajendranandan. They just see a statue, because there is no nothing going on in the heart. As we become purified, then the spiritual reality becomes a little more tangible to us. Like I was in, we had a small pilgrimage in Vrindavan, so we had took some devotees, and I was just kind of helping. But you could see that by being in the Dham and being purified by that atmosphere, their kind of awareness or capacity to become in touch with you know, the truth, the real reality, became more, a little stronger. So they became more, you know, emotional, more sensitive. You know, when chanting, when seeing a darshan, when taking prasadam, I could see how it started to go in more, because that purification made them, brought them to become more in touch with Krishna. So we can only imagine for the pure devotee who is completely pure, they have a there is no interference. Just like when you make a call, and there's too much, I mean, nowadays you probably don't have to worry so much about this. Maybe if you're far away, you don't have so much good service. The call is very static, can't hear so well. But when it's clear, then when you have the good, crude example, you know, the phone service, then the call is very clear. There's no interference. So for one who has a pure heart, there is no interference in their connection with Krishna. Therefore, we hear how they have that connection with the Paramatma, Krishna in the heart. He can guide because there's no interference with that communication. And then also, through their chanting, they are able to directly access Vrindavan because there's no interference there. So, therefore, when we associate with them, it is the same as associating with the spiritual world. They are like that walking representative. Even so, there's another story I heard about one devotee. Before he joined, he had some ability to see auras. I think this was in Russia. And so he had been told that there were some devotees. He didn't know that they were devotees, but somehow he had become aware that there were some saintly people who were going to be coming. And they were coming in through a train station. And so he said that when he, because he can see, he's at this train station, he sees everyone has these kind of like brown, small, you know, aura. You know, they look kind of, you know, a little bit low ebb. But then he saw when these two devotees came off the train, it was like this huge golden, like blinding effulgence practically, you know. And he was like, so these are the Vaishnavas, you know. Even we may not be pure, but when we are sincere, we don't always realize how much Krishna favors us. The Vaishnavas are very, very wonderful. So, in that way, we become in touch with Krishna. And then we get to have a more unfiltered experience of Krishna consciousness. What is the difference between someone who is like me, you know, a neophyte, and someone who is advanced? One of the differences, that when they look at Krishna, they have a different experience from when I look at Krishna. They have a more unfiltered. When they see Krishna, they're seeing Krishna. So, by their association we are able to also come to that level. When we are practicing as sadhakas, we're going through step by step, trying to elevate our self, our consciousness, trying to deepen our bhajan, going through the stages of devotional service. When we get an association of a mahatma, it's kind of like, you know, we get a kind of fast forward. You know, we get to experience something that maybe we're not qualified for in their association. Because out of their compassion, they give themselves, they give their association and their guidance. And even just to be in their association and their presence, we get to experience something that we wouldn't necessarily experience on our own. And that helps to increase our faith. So I'm sure we've all had some experience like that. We have some moment of association with a genuine sadhu, and we feel some, wow, I'm experiencing something that I think is beyond my capacity. So this is also the gift of the human form of life, that we're able to take advantage of the association of a sadhu, right? In an animal body, of course, there may be some benefit if we're fortunate enough to get around a sadhu in an animal body. But of course, it's not the same. In a human form of life, we can inquire, we can serve extensively like this. So therefore, we're encouraged. That the human form of life, even though it's temporary, right, it's not a very long life, but it affords us the opportunity to attain to the highest spiritual perfection. And a crucial part of that, which cannot be, you know, neglected, is the service of the advanced Vaishnavas. And so that service purifies us and also makes us able to receive by the kind of rubbing off, for lack of a better word, of their association. We get to also deepen our own devotion. And so we see many examples of this, how the service, the sincere and humble service to a Vaishnava accelerates our spiritual life significantly. Just like Narada Muni, he served those Vaishnavas who came to his home, and in that way he became advanced. So this is a easy way to make advancement, you know, taking advantage of any association opportunity we have. And by their kindness and compassion on us, then we are safe when we stay close to them. So that's what I will say for today. If there are any questions, preferably comments. But yes, Hare Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita 9:14-15, 14 has that Mahatmanastumam Partha Devim Prakritamasu. So Mahatmas are under internal potency and they serve the Lord. In the next verse, there are three types of impersonal. Ekatyana Pritagatyana Bodha Vishyata Mukham. So they are not considered Mahatma. But you read that Prabhupada says, is the impersonalist Mahatma and personalist Mahatma?
Yeah.
How do we reconcile or at least grasp it?
Mm. Yeah, I also found that to be peculiar. My understanding was that the although the ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in person. My understanding was more that it's the idea of the association that whether you are a personalist or impersonalist, there is still that element of taking guidance from someone.
Wait a minute. You gave an example of Prabhupada with his disciple.
Yes.
That he threw him back. He said, what is this? Oh, this is impersonal.
Yes.
The help of guru and then throw it. So they are not looking for guidance.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have a different motivation. It would definitely doesn't seem to be in the same way as the way in which we approach a sadhu. Of course, it could also be that, you know, there is a level of consciousness that they're able to attain in which they see the world from a more, beyond the body, right? Although it pertains more to, you know, the niti-niti aspect, that nothing is real. But there is an element of elevation of vision in terms of seeing everyone around as more than a body. But I'm not sure. It is interesting.
I'm going to contemplate. I won't be able to stop. Another aspect also Prabhupada says, niti-niti that you mentioned, it's absence of real happiness. So absence means they don't want sense enjoyment of this world. So absence of material suffering, I guess there is some kind of feeling of happiness.
Yes.
When there is no suffering. But it's not real happiness either.
Right.
And I remember many lecture Prabhupada smashed that idea. That this is not, that negativity is not going to solve the problem. They have to come to positive.
Yes. And yeah, to that point, that for those who are actually on that level, for one who is ignorant, they seem to be very advanced. Perhaps they're very peaceful. Like we see with a lot of these kind of pseudo-spiritual gurus, most of them, almost all of them, I think, are impersonalist. But their presentation of themselves is very much that they're very peaceful, they're very self-controlled, they're very knowledgeable, and so people are very much infatuated with that presentation, and so I think that's also there, because you can by a strict yogic practice of some sort, you can attain to a certain level of consciousness, and for a layman, that is very much attractive. I kind of felt like Srila Prabhupada was being a little liberal in giving a title of a Mahatma for the sake of making a point.
There are some impersonalists. I remember Radhanath Maharaj was telling in one pastime of San Francisco, where Prabhupada started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I guess this big Mayavadi was there. And then in Hardwar, when Maharaj went to this Mayavadi temple, not that he went there, he just happened to pass by, and he went there before he joined to ISKCON. So he went there, and then they, I guess, know him or somewhere before, and then the Guru was there, and Guru remembers Prabhupada's presence in San Francisco.
And he said, Swami Maharaj, Swami Maharaj, chanted Hare Krishna, and then he fainted. He literally fainted. Wow. And they asked Radhanath Maharaj to give class. And there was a 32 Mayavadi sannyasi sitting there.
Wow.
Would you believe what kind of class he gave? It was a very fascinating. I still think sometimes. Maharaj is far out, Radhanath Maharaj. He gave a class on Kalavacha Sridhar's relationship with Lord Chaitanya on the banana flower, bargaining. And these sannyasis who recites all these verses, they're like cracking up on the floor by hearing this. See, this is how God deals with his devotee. And they all loved it. They all really loved it. I don't know whether they will jump immediately to become devotee, but definitely they got attracted to personality. So in that sense, Prabhupada is liberal and good. Thank you. It was a very nice class. You emphasize about the association of devotees, so important.
Well, obviously they're not Mahatmas compared to us. But, I mean, compared to most of the conditioned souls, I mean, they're aspiring to get beyond conditional limitations and so forth. So there's something there. I mean, you know, we all have such a long way to go. But they're a little bit hung up, like you're saying, you know, about pushing the guru away and stuff. There's still, every conditioned soul wants to imitate and become God, and there's still that's there. You know, we're going to merge, we're going to become, maybe I can't become God-like. I'm going to control externally, but I can merge and I can become. So there's still some, you know, they're not ready to give Bhagavatam class here.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.